word.
Preach the word.
So there's been this story that my parents had told me when I was growing up, and it's kind of stuck with me. It's a story about this kid who was told by his parents to go out and get some apples from their apple trees. And so he goes out and he does that, acting like a very obedient child. Well, then when he's getting far away to where they can't see him, he starts running off and actually goes into the neighbor's yard where there's a cherry tree. And he loved his cherries. Nobody was around. Nobody could see him. There were no fences to keep him away. So he started picking and started eating. And he's doing that. He's picking them. And then he decides, you know what? I'm going to get a little bit higher because that's where the better cherries are. So he starts climbing up the tree. And he's holding onto the branch, pulling some off. And then he pulls out his pocket knife to start plucking some out. You know, everything's going well. But if you climb trees much at all, you know that the wind picks up increasingly the higher you get. Well, there was a big gust of wind, and it made him lose his footing, made him lose his grip. And so he starts falling. He, in a split second, he grabs the branch with his left hand. That's fine. But the blade starts to fall as well. And in an instant, he tries to grab that as well. And so both arms are grabbing on as tight as they can, and his right hand gets cut by that blade pretty bad. And that starts making everything go crazy. He, with the gust of wind, with the cut, he falls down, hurts himself. He was fine, but he had that big gash on his hand. Well, several years later, he's talking to his daughter, and his daughter's like, "Hey, Dad, what is that? Where'd you get that?" Well, he tells her the story. And then he says, "Now, this is a nice little reminder for me. Ever since I've been growing up, I've had this scar on my hand, and it's a reminder of the time that I was disobedient, and it's helped me in other times when I've been tempted to disobey my parents again." We all have scars, don't we? Now, quite possibly every single one of us in here does have a legit physical scar on our body. I have a few of them. But I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about the mental scar that we have from something that we did in the past, something in our past life that we regret, some sin that we did, and we live with it. It's burned in our memory. We'll always remember it. We all have those, right? Well, there's an individual in the Bible that all of us love, have grown to love. In fact, he's quite possibly your favorite Bible character, the Apostle Paul. And, of course, we know he's got some serious scars from his past life that he had to deal with. He was the individual who inflicted the death of our brother Stephen. He was the individual that was persecuting the church. And then he goes off, he becomes a Christian, and now he's got to live with that. And then such an inspiring, amazing man, and yet having to live with that, we should really look at this man and see, what did he have to deal with? And how did he deal with his scars? So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at three different ways that he had to deal with his scars. In one particular way, how he was able to get through it. Firstly, we see that according to the life of Paul, scars are visible. They're visible to all. Now, here's a little story about me. And many of you guys probably, several of you guys at least, know about this. And that is, here at Bear Valley, I'm known as the pew biter. Several years back, I was 15, I think, running down the auditorium. It was dark. I tripped over a guy's foot, and there's a nice little gash in the top of a pew over there because of my teeth. And I'm going to leave the goriness out of it, but let's just say several months of doctor's visits, readjusting my jaw, everything. It was fun. Well, I've got a scar to show for it. But even more than that, now here at Bear Valley, I've kind of got a reputation. If I'm here for game night, there's usually a comment, and everyone thinks they're original, and that is, hey, Adam, if you get hungry, don't try to eat any pews. Or, hey, be careful while you're running around. If you don't know why, just go ask Adam. I mean, those are the jokes. It's not a bad reputation to have. It hurt, but it's not a bad reputation to have. Getting a bit more serious here, Paul had a very, very bad reputation that he had to deal with from all of the churches in the area, particularly. Let's look at some of the things that he had to deal with early on. In Acts chapter 9, verses 20 through 22, we see it's just after Paul has been converted, or Saul at this time. 20 through 22, it says, "And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, 'He is the Son of God.' All those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, 'Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?' But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ." Let's also look at verse 26. It says, "When he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple." Let's be honest. Can we blame them? Far too often, I would come to this text and I would think, why aren't they trusting him? He's a new man. He's changed. They need to give up the past and just realize, hey, he's changed. Bring him in. That's true. We need to forgive people. But can we blame them for their fear? Now, I know this man is dead now, but let's think about an individual we all know as Osama bin Laden. Just say, theoretically, that he was still alive, and this Sunday, you see him here trying to associate with the brothers, and he's even trying to say, "Jesus is Lord," trying to preach to other people. Would you really believe him? Would you have faith in him? Why? Why would we not? Because we've seen the devastation that he brought. I personally wasn't old enough to remember that day, 9/11. But I know just about everyone else in here remembers exactly where they were when they found out about that. Someone that persecuted people, someone that brought about such pain and horror, it would be hard to believe them because they have that reputation. That is what Paul had to deal with. He had that reputation. Now for us, no one in here has to deal with that kind of a reputation. Thank goodness. That's great. But a lot of us, when getting into sin, have to deal with the consequences of it and the tattered reputation by it. If an individual is known for being angry and can just have outbursts of anger, we should encourage that individual and forgive that individual when they repent of it and say, "Guys, I'm sorry," and try to help them out. Try to help them be that person who's not like that. But a few days later, you're not going to say, "Hey, there's a heated situation here with another brother. I'm going to call this guy in to help out. He's got that reputation." Or an individual who's known for being completely untrustworthy, saying, "I'll be there at such and such a time, and I'll help you out with this." They don't show up, or they show up several hours later. Are they going to be the first one to be called upon to set up a church event? Unfortunately, that's not the case. When we get into sins, we have to deal with the consequences of those scars, because scars are visible to people. And it takes some time to regain trust. And that's what Paul had to deal with. That's the first fact about the scars that Paul had to wear. But what's the second one that we see? The second one is that scars are reminders. Later on in life, you're going to, if you grow to be a good Christian, change your ways. Most everybody that's around you, that loves you, is just going to forget about it. Some people are not. Some people will hold on to that, but most people are going to forget about it, and they're going to see this new person.
And with Paul?
That was the case. Some people, sure, they probably were still like, I don't trust that guy. And we even see people that were trying to get on Paul's case. But most people trusted him. They saw him as this great guy who wrote most of this book. But there was one individual in particular that really never left. And that was him. Him, personally. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. Galatians 1, 13 through 14. It says, "For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and try to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions." He remembers it. This is burned inside of him. Also, let's flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 8 and 9. Right now he's talking about Jesus and his appearing to people. And then in verse 8, he says, "And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." He sees himself as the least of the apostles because he persecuted the church of God. Do you really think the images left him? Nate and I were talking about this the other day. Really think about it. Do you think he forgets the times that he was pulling parents away from their screaming children to put them in prison? Do you really think he forgets the time that he was allowing people to throw stones upon his soon-to-be brother, Stephen, seeing his face? Do you think he forgets that? He doesn't. You see here, he doesn't forget the persecution that he put upon people. Yes, other people have probably forgotten about it, and they're like, "Hey, it's okay, Paul. We love you. That is not you. That's the old self. This is the new self." But it's stuck upon him. And that's something that we have to deal with. And we all know that. We all see it in our lives. Again, yes, we don't have to deal with that great burden of knowing that we've killed other Christians, but we do have things in our past that we wish we could get rid of. We wish we could hop on a time machine and stop it, change it. But unfortunately, that's not the case. We've got to deal with them. Scars are visible to other people. But even bigger than that, scars are reminders to you. Now, this has been kind of a bit more sad and somber sermon up to this point, but there is great hope. The third thing that we see from Paul is that scars are healed. The very next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's verse 10. It says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored even more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me." Sure. Paul puts himself down. Paul has to live with that. Paul has to live with his old self. But guess what? Even though I was a murderer, by the grace of God, I am healed. So I'm going to continue on in this battle, and I'm going to continue spreading God's word. He's not letting his old self pull him down. He's not letting those scars be open wounds again. He's saying, yes, this was me. It was me, but it's no longer me. I'm no longer going to stand and worry about myself and worry about, oh, that was me. I'm unworthy. I can't do this. I'm going to sit back, let other people more worthy than me spread the gospel, let other people be greater disciples. No, he's saying, that was me. But God changed that completely. His grace changed that completely, so I don't have to worry about my old self. Have to focus on the future. Have to focus on the present and what I can bestow to God and what I can bring to other people showing God's grace. As ministers of God's word, here, We've all had certain things in our past that we regret. But we can't let that be the forefront of our ministry. That can be something that can encourage us to say, I don't want to go back to that. Absolutely. But that is not our forefront. Our forefront is God and His grace and how He washed that away. We don't have to live in that anymore. We don't have to make our scars open wounds anymore. We can continue on because our scars are healed. We are new beings. We've been saved. Yes, the scars are there, and we wish we could get rid of them. I wish I could get rid of the times that I completely regret, that I think, Adam, why did you do that stupid thing that doesn't make sense? 5 minutes later, you're going to regret it certain times. But unfortunately, it's there. Let's not allow that to be something that's a barrier. Let's continue on. Let's go on in the faith. Build up other people through the grace that God has given us. Let's not live in the scars, but let's live in the present. Thank you.